about what you're doing. And later on, switch on the TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams
is on.
Yes, indeed. Good evening. Hello, hello. We're on. Rick Adams with you. And indeed, I heard my name bandied about many times. But then again, that is nothing new for the Radio Avenger. Welcome aboard. And yes, indeed, as you heard our previous host, Mike Piper, say that he will continue to be on RBN for a while tonight, maybe the whole night. Maybe he'll stay on till, who knows, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. But anyway, he's here with me, Mike Piper. Hello and welcome to my program again.
Rick, I almost feel like blaming you for the fact that I have a show here on RBN because it's either thanks or no thanks to you that I've done a lot of radio over the past few years, and I guess John Statmiller and the people at RBN figure they could waste an hour by having me aboard, and here I am. I've been here a whole year. It's hard to believe.
Well, that's exactly why you're there, because of me.
Right.
I have a funny way of creating downfalls for people, including myself. But anyway, I'll tell you, you are a hard man to get a hold of. Mike, I've tried calling you, and getting a hold of you, I'll tell you, is harder than getting a hold of Dick Cheney.
Rick, I'll tell you what, my oldest friend called me today, and the first thing he said when I picked up the phone was, "You're hard to get a hold of."
Yeah, so. I mean, I can get a hold of Dick Cheney faster than you. Not that I'd want to get a hold of Dick Cheney, except for something more nefarious.
I was going to say, if I could be locked in a room with Dick Cheney for about 1 hour... Well, let's just put it this way. There'd be a vacancy in the vice presidency.
Somewhere there would be a vacancy. But then we could always maybe see you elevated to that position, huh?
Wouldn't that be something? I doubt that's going to happen. Right?
Well, not if Nancy Pelosi has anything to say about it, or Abe Foxman, or anyone else.
Yeah,
anyway,
I doubt that.
Hey, we got a lot to talk about. It's been a long time, and you know, when you first came out with your latest book, The Judas Goats, right? I tried to get a hold of you, and for one reason or another, we never did reconnect.
You know what, Rick?
Here we are.
It's funny. Yeah, you know, now that you remind me about that, you know, I had gotten an email from you about that, and you know, it was within the next week or so that my entire email was sabotaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost all of my emails.
Really?
And I spent weeks. I still have not gotten back in touch with a lot of people.
Well, I went on a website and
get in touch with them,
yeah,
know?
And unfortunately, I've had not viruses, but I've had a lot of spam mail picking up, and you know, this is what happens when you visit certain websites that you're directed to that are allegedly conservative, right-wing, patriotic. So you have to be careful where you go.
Yeah,
unless
fact,
you have,
you know,
the software.
Rick, it's probably worth it. Probably be of interest to the listeners. And you know, actually, we traded emails a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I had actually gotten a couple emails that were with your, with what I recognized to be your return address from the
mm-hmm.
email. And when I opened it up, it said, the computer that I was working on said, "This is a virus."
Really?
And then again, a second time that happened, and mm-hmm. it occurred to me, I said, this is not really Rick Adams sending me an email,
no.
But this is someone who knows that I would open up an email from Rick Adams.
Yep.
So that's how it works.
Well, that's why it pays to have the best anti-viral software program that you can put in.
Oh, they
it does
can sabotage
work.
Emails real fast.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We'll be right back, Mike. Stay tuned. We'll get into the thick of it. Rick Adams, and we'll take calls a little bit later on for both of us. Stay tuned.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
We're back. We're back. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of talk radio, and we have with us none other than the John Hancock of the American Free Press. We have Mike Piper with us. And Mike, you remember when I first met you in person? It was about 4 or 5 years ago at the AFP Barnes Review conference we had in Washington.
Yeah, we'd been talking on your show for a couple years prior to that. We finally met in person that day.
Yep. And you stumbled in there, and I introduced you to the audience, and you came in with all of your regalia and all of your papers and briefcase, and I think you followed, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know who it was you followed, but I know we had on Tom, who was it now?
Eustace
it was Tom
Mullins.
Kimmel.
I followed Eustace Mullins, as a matter of fact.
You did?
Yes.
Well, not that year. I don't remember Eustace Mullins being there.
Oh, well, I could be wrong and you could be right. Who knows?
Well, anyway, you were one of the people that followed Tom Kimmel, and you know it's very difficult to follow Tom Kimmel because he never gets off the podium, as you know, but he gave a marvelous address on the Pearl Harbor conspiracy. And then we had another fellow come up who was kind of irate because he took so much of his time, and he was one of those first-hand observers in New York at the 9/11 event.
Oh, yeah.
And he got up and he gave his view, and so many people had something to say. And of course, you know, we've been talking about 9/11 for a long time, and it seems as if every day, Mike, you know, that more and more evidence emerges that Israel was in the driver's seat in this whole 9/11 episode. I don't know what kind of vibes you're getting lately. I know you've been writing about it in the American Free Press, but it seems as if Israel has been prominent behind the scenes in steering up this whole crusade against so-called Islamic terrorism.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Rick. I like to tell the story, and it just really represents how I came about this whole thing. I remember on 9/11, you know, when I heard there were these terrorist attacks, my immediate thought was, well, what can you expect? You know, I mean, before they had officially announced who had done it, my assumption was that these were, quote-unquote, Arab terrorists, Muslim terrorists who had finally struck back at the United States. And, you know, I called my sister-in-law. You know, everybody wanted to reach out and touch someone that day. Well, I wanted to reach my family, and I called my sister-in-law, and I said, well, they did it. And what I meant when I said was they did it, what I meant was, well, the Arabs have finally hit here on American soil. They've been hitting American targets around the world. They've been expressing their discontent with U.S. foreign policy, and now they've done it here. Well, you know, my sister-in-law knows I have a certain reputation for being, shall we say, a critic of Israel, a critic of Jewish power. And the first thing she said to me was, oh, you think the Jews did this? And I paused for a moment, and I said, well, I said, you know, now that I think about it, you know, I said they probably did. And after that moment, I started looking at the media coverage of what did and didn't happen on 9/11 and watching what people were saying or not saying and how they said what they did say, and then watching all the little things that started popping up, and I realized that we were not being told the real story by our government, by the media. Mm-hmm. And when I look at who controls the media and how they control the media and why they manipulate the media the way they do, that said to me right away that the people who were accused of having done 9/11 didn't do it, and that if anything, the people who really did do 9/11 were being protected by the media.
Exactly.
So, from my experience, the media has this funny way of protecting Israel and its misdeeds. So from that foundation, if you start looking at 9/11 from that perspective, then you see that there is indeed another side of the coin, and this side of the coin is much more clear than the fictitious version of events that we've been given by the mass media and by the government in the official 9/11 report.
Well, I had a similar reaction at that particular time when we had all heard about the so-called attacks on America. I also, I had talked with friends who were saying the same thing. Wow, the Arabs finally decided they'd had enough of America's support for this tiny mini state of terror in the Middle East, Israel. And then I thought about it for a few more minutes, and I said, wait a minute, hold on. I said, this sounds like an inside job. I'm saying to myself, this sounds like George Bush and his CIA buddies. And somebody in this government is pulling another Pearl Harbor. Honestly, I really said it's the government. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I called up a couple of local talk show hosts, and that was, of course, the big topic. And I said exactly to them what I'm saying tonight. And guess what? I was ushered off the air as quickly as possible. They didn't want to hear it. And it was almost as if they were programmed, Mike, to walk in lockstep with the government. These big media conglomerates who own these talk network stations today, Clear Channel Now, you know, Citadel and so forth, they basically are walking lockstep with the powers that be in the government and never challenging anything the government and the major media say, as you call them, the lapdog media.
You know, it's funny, Rick. I remember the day after the terrorist attacks in New York and here in Washington, I remember having a local radio station on here in Washington, and some totally reasonable-sounding gentleman called in and said, and this guy obviously accepted the idea that by this point they were already saying it was an Arab terrorist attack, a Muslim terrorist attack. This guy accepted that quote-unquote reality. And then he went on to say, since this has happened, shouldn't we now start looking at the fact as to why it happened? In other words, he was, and what he went on to say was, didn't this happen because of the U.S. support for Israel?
Are you sure you weren't listening to Rick Adams call local radio? Sounds like what I was saying,
well,
yeah.
This, the radio show host that accepted this particular phone call immediately said, I think that's a real dishonor to all of the people who died yesterday. He said, this is a slap in their face to suggest that U.S. policy led to such an attack.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I'm sorry, sir, but I'm just going to have to cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
And he cut this guy off the air, and, you know, I was saying to myself, uh-oh, we're in overdrive here now. The subject of U.S. foreign policy is not going to be discussed. And, you know, for the next month and a half to 2 months, it was only why they hated us and the fact that they hated us, but never because of our U.S. policy. It was always because of McDonald's and girls in short skirts, and they didn't like our democracy and they didn't like our freedom. It had nothing to do with the fact that U.S. foreign policy is dominated by Israel and its very wealthy and powerful lobby here in America.
Yeah, how convenient, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and you know, it's funny, that same day I was listening to another program, and there was the host of this program here in Washington is Diane Rehm. She's an Arab-American woman. And one of her callers called in and brought up the subject of Christian Zionism and said, well, it's not just the Jews who are promoting Israel. There's the Christian Zionist movement. And you know what Diane Rehm, this Arab-American woman, said?
Mm-hmm.
She said, I've never heard of Christian Zionism. Now,
well, she's not alone. She's not alone. Many people still ask me what that means.
You know, but I can understand why someone out in the hinterlands might not know what Christian Zionism is, but this is an Arab-American woman who's been in talk radio here in the nation's capital for 30 years anyway, and she said, I didn't believe her when she said it. I mean, I thought, frankly, that Diane Rehm was just trying to avoid a very difficult subject. But that was the whole course of the media's coverage of 911. And then, of course, anytime anyone raises any questions about the official story, they are dismissed as conspiracy theorists.
And that's what makes us more suspicious, you
exactly.
see, that it is an Israeli involvement. Otherwise, they would not be going to such great lengths to be able to run interference for Israel.
Yeah, it's, you know, and you know, this is the whole kind of thing, you know, I say to friends of mine who are skeptical of the 911 events, you know, I pointed this out to a friend of mine, you know, people are willing at some point now to accept the idea that the U.S. government knew in advance about the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, and it was, of course, obviously the Japanese who did the attack on Pearl Harbor, but the fact remains, there is very, very solid and sound evidence from a wide variety of authors, from Pulitzer Prize winner John Tolan to former Navy Commander Stinnett, a number of people who have said, yes, not only did the United States know in advance about the impending attack on Pearl Harbor, but, in fact, FDR instigated the attack on Pearl Harbor. He wanted it to happen.
Absolutely.
And at the very least, I think the same thing can be said that if, in fact, just for the sake of argument, if, in fact, the entire 911 attack was carried out by Muslim extremists, I don't think there's any doubt, at least among those who dared to look at this very difficult subject, I don't think there's any doubt that the United States government knew that such an attack could happen. Now, my personal belief is that there could very well have been quote-unquote sincere Muslim terrorists involved in the attacks. But based upon my own readings, based upon my own intuitions, and upon lots of information from a lot of different sources, not all of them conventionally anti-Israel, I think the Israelis certainly were quite involved, quite in tune, knew it was going to happen, and so did the United States government.
Oh, come on, Mike. Don't you know they just confessed to the coal bombing and the whole 9/11 episode, and this guy, Khalil, he was behind it all. He was the ringmaster. Oh, my. We'll be right back with Mike Piper. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Hitting them pretty hard and knocking them right out of the park. Rick Adams is on. Right on. On base, on point, on RBNLive.com.
Yeah. Well, Mike Piper. Mike, we're back. You and I, and we'll invite callers a little bit later on, but I'm having so much fun talking to someone who is sane like me in this insane world. You know, two things come to mind, Mike, around the time of 9/11, and you remember one of them that was very prominent in the news, as a matter of fact, and it had to do with the UN and Zionism is racism. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Rick. What people forget is that just prior to 9/11, there was a major international conference being held in South Africa, and virtually every country in the world was represented there in one form or another, including the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It was a conference on racism, and what happened at that conference was it apparently got out of control because suddenly everybody from around the world was talking about Israel, mm-hmm. Israel's treatment of the Palestinians, Israel's expansionism, Israel's just general misdeeds, and the United States pulled out of that conference. In fact, about a month before 911. There was a major rally here in Washington. Thousands and thousands of supporters of Israel came to Washington to basically flex their muscles and say, hey, although everybody else around the world is picking on Israel, we don't want you, the United States government, to let up. And, you know, they were running scared. After 911, everything shifted abruptly.
The whole landscape, didn't it?
Exactly. In fact, I remember right after 911, there was an Israeli author wrote in the New Republic rather extensive essay about what had happened, and he said essentially, we're all Israelis now. In other words, the United States now has suffered terrorism just like Israel, and therefore this is more reason than ever for the United States to not just stick with Israel, but intensify its relationship with Israel.
And Ariel Sharon had just come in, you remember, around the same time Bush came into office?
That's right.
And he said within the first 100 days, you know, he'd have everything under control, terrorism would cease and so forth. Well, you know, that's not exactly what happened and the way it worked out. But I remember, as you point out, this conference in Durban, and nation after nation was getting up at the podium, and they were addressing this resolution that equated Zionism with racism. And, well, of course, that's like equating, you know, motherhood and apple pie, right? And, I mean, they do have a relationship, right? Anyway, so what happened was the focus of attention had to be diverted. And I'm reading this every day. And I'm saying, this is like, it's too good to be true. Can it be happening? And I'm sure Mike Collins Piper was saying the same thing. And guess what happened just after that? 9/11. And prior to 9/11, something else had been going on NBC, you know. I had been watching Tom Brokaw, and Tom Brokaw is certainly no friend of truth, or he wouldn't have been at NBC. And I recall the silly book that he wrote, The Greatest Generation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm saying, here's a guy that knows where his bread is buttered. He knows how to push the line and the propaganda. And what'll come next? Well, sure enough, you remember the reports that NBC exclusively was pursuing with a vigor, and that was the Taliban in Afghanistan. It just happened to be the mean, bad, idolatry-hating Taliban in Afghanistan, and how they were blowing up statues. You remember that?
I do remember that. I remember the image quite well, actually.
And they were sowing in our minds, Mike, this constant image that these people are lunatics. These people are crazy. These people are religious fanatics, you know? And these are the same people at NBC, of course, who were trying to tell us that Catholics for Life and Christians who, you know, were demonstrating at abortion clinics were also religious fanatics, you know? And wouldn't it be nice if we can tie them together? Never mentioning the Zionist fundamentalists, of course. But in any event, this went on and on and on and led right up to the election of George Bush, and this was in the late 90s, if you recall, 98, 99, these reports were going on, and then George Bush comes in, and boom, shortly thereafter comes 9/11.
Well, you know,
amazing.
Not to digress, but this certainly actually comes full circle after now we've, the whole 9/11 thing was used as a pretext to get into this second war in Iraq, but I always remember, Rick, that in the summer of 1990, I remember this very, very clearly. I remember sitting in my favorite Chinese restaurant with a copy of one of the major news magazines. I can't remember which one it was. It was one of the big three. And there was a cover photo, or cover drawing, actually, of Saddam Hussein, referring to him as the most dangerous man in the world.
Since Adolf Hitler, right?
Yes. And this was about a month and a half, 2 months, as anyone can check it if they check the archives of these magazines. This was about a month or a month and a half before Saddam invaded Kuwait. And I remember at that time thinking, I wonder why they're all of a sudden picking on Saddam Hussein. And then, lo and behold, Saddam went into Iraq, and then the big propaganda machine began to beat
you mean he went into
war.
Kuwait, you mean? Kuwait.
Yes, he went into Kuwait.
Right.
Thank you. Exactly,
right.
Yeah. And so this is these kind of things that sometimes, you know, there are things going, obviously 9-1-1 Well, I think a break is coming
all
up
right
here.
We'll pursue this, and we'll continue much more to talk about. Mike Collins Piper, my guest tonight on Uncensored Radio Free America. Join us, Rick Adams, your radio avenger.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Yes. All right. We are back. We are back with Mike Collins Piper. You know, Mike, terrorism is nothing new for the Israeli government, as you know. Back in the 50s, they had the Lavon affair. And, of course, in the 60s, they just out and out attacked the American reconnaissance ship, the USS Liberty. And I like what Dan Smoot, the late, great Dan Smoot, had to say in his report, U.S. Captive of Zionism. He said that our government said quite bluntly that the Israelis could not have attacked the Liberty by mistake. Nonetheless, Israel's formal apology was accepted, and the matter ended there. The attack on the Liberty was a deliberate decision by some important Israeli official. And then he asked the question why and speculated. And as he pointed out, the Eisenhower Doctrine, previous to that, did not slow down the growth of communist influence in the Middle East. The chief result of Eisenhower's doctrine was a 10-year armaments race where the U.S. financed both sides, giving military aid to Israel and then to the Arab nations. And as he pointed out, France and England, with American tax money lent or given to them by our government, also helped finance both sides, the Soviets pursuing their strategy of encouraging Arab-Israeli hostilities to widen the rift between the U.S. and its former Arab friends. And as he points out, the Arabs were our friends prior to the erection of the State of Israel. So here you go. There's some important lessons that need to be learned here about terrorism. You see?
Yeah, you know, this thing, you know, I was just reading a book the other day about the USS Liberty. And, you know, it's funny, Rick, I was sitting there with my yellow highlighter, and I found that I was practically highlighting everything that I read, because there is absolutely no question that the attack on the USS Liberty was a deliberate attack, that Israel had an agenda in so doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence, everything from the eyewitness reports of the U.S. sailors who were there, to people in the United States government who objected to it, to even Israeli sources, all point towards the fact it was a deliberate attack. And yet the official U.S. government position, or the official position of U.S. government officials who were queried on this subject,
mm-hmm.
is that, well, it was a tragic mistake, and Israel apologized for it.
It was a deliberate tragic mistake.
A deliberate tragic mistake. You know what I mean? But all the evidence goes against that. But, you know, Rick, I want to tell you something. This ties into what we were talking about earlier. I am absolutely convinced, and I have written about this. I've written about it in my book that you mentioned earlier, the
mm-hmm.
Judas Goats.
Mm-hmm.
I have talked myself blue in the face in regard to this matter, but people kind of have forgotten about it because of what happened with 9-1-1. But I am absolutely convinced that the Oklahoma City bombing was an Israeli. Very simply, the Oklahoma City bombing.
Mm-hmm.
was an Israeli provocation.
Mm-hmm.
Their hope was that the United States would then take the initiative and blame it on Saddam Hussein, which is very, very clearly, in my view, what the intent was. However, for its own particular interests, Bill Clinton was not prepared
mm-hmm.
to go to war against Saddam Hussein.
I think you're right.
And what happened was there was such a deliberate cover-up of the quote-unquote Arab connection, along with all other connections, and
mm-hmm.
they finally narrowed it down to lone bombers, so to speak, Timothy McVeigh. Timothy McVeigh, of course, and his friend Terry Nichols.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm absolutely convinced if you stand back and look at the whole Oklahoma City bombing, what you find was that there was a guy on the ground who was connected to the militias, a former Army officer who may have and probably was very much manipulated by some intelligence sources.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to think what Tim McVeigh thought was going to happen on that day in Oklahoma City was that he was going to blow up a truck in front of the Oklahoma City building, and maybe some people would be killed, maybe some people wouldn't be, but that he was going to blow up a truck, and that's all it was going to be. But behind the scenes, the Israelis, through their domestic monitoring organizations, through their contacts in the BATF and the FBI and God knows where else, the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center,
mm-hmm.
they were monitoring everything that was going on, and what their intent was to blow that building up, blame it on Saddam Hussein, and provoke a U.S. war against Saddam at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton didn't bite. And as
no,
a
and Bill Clinton,
that,
you're right. You're
yeah.
right. Bill Clinton actually wanted to go down as Jimmy Carter had gone down with Sadat. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
Looking like he did something in the Middle East. And he was, as bad as Bill Clinton was, he did not being like the idea of being governed by a neocon group.
Yeah.
And what happened to him was something called the rabbi's daughter, Monica Lewinsky. And you brought that out with Jerry Falwell being given the advanced word from Netanyahu.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I had pulled together a story for the Spotlight pointing out all of these rather unusual Israeli connections
mm-hmm.
to the whole Monica Lewinsky affair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Up to including the fact that it was none other than William Kristol, the grand poobah of the neoconservative,
mm-hmm. yeah.
who was the first person to ever mention the impending Monica Lewinsky scandal. Mm-hmm. Before it ever got legs.
Isn't that interesting, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, another thing, too, which I did a piece in American Free Press on this. I saw, about 3 weeks before the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke, I saw a very unusual picture of Bill Clinton in a full-page advertisement that was run in several Jewish newspapers saying, "Why has Bill Clinton turned his back on Israel?"
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very unusual picture, which I had never seen before, an image of Bill Clinton from the back. Now, the reason why I say I'd never seen this is because at that time in the Spotlight office, we had a UPI photograph machine that would send over literally hundreds of pictures a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked in our Bill Clinton file after the fact, and I could not find a single picture of him from behind. We had pictures of him from every conceivable angle, mm-hmm. but none of him from behind.
Now, was he naked at the time?
No, he was fully clothed.
Okay.
But what's very interesting is that after the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke about 3 weeks later,
mm-hmm.
the national press ran still photographs and also on television, they ran images of Bill Clinton in a receiving line,
mm-hmm.
filmed by the White House, with his back to the viewer and Monica Lewinsky facing, and he leans down and hugs her. That was the first image the nation and the world ever saw of Monica Lewinsky.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
image of Bill Clinton on that White House video, that was the image that had been used by the Israeli lobby organizations 3 weeks previously in their advertising campaign against Bill Clinton. In other words, they already had those photographs of Bill Clinton from the rear embracing Monica Lewinsky.
How fascinating.
Yeah. Now, so there, and I want to tell you something. I did those stories in American Free Press, and I passed them on to somebody who I happen to know through a mutual acquaintance. And this particular person just happened to know the Clintons. Now, he never told me directly that he gave these stories from the Spotlight to the Clintons, but uh-huh. he said to me with kind of a laugh, he says, "I passed those stories on of yours to some friends of mine."
Mm-hmm.
And then he chuckled and he said, "They seem to think you're right."
Well, I'm looking at the foreword, the Jewish newspaper for this week, and guess who's on the front page? Obama, Barack Obama. And here he is speaking there, you know, before the AIPAC group, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. And the headline reads, "Barack Obama steps up bid for Jewish backing." And I said, "Well, isn't that a surprise? Wait till I tell Mike Piper. He won't believe it." Well, here you go.
You know what I think is going on there, Rick? I don't think that there's any particular desire on the part of anybody anywhere other than a few brainwashed Americans. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Barack Obama any more than any other politician. What I think is happening here is that, you know, Hillary and Bill are a very aggressive power couple, but they are people who are not to be trusted in the views of our friends in Israel. And I tend to think what's happening here is that Barack Obama is being built up
mm-hmm.
as kind of a blocking yeah. candidate to
right.
try to, you know, I'm not saying Hillary's a greatest thing since sliced bread.
God, no.
But what I'm saying is that I think that the powers that be would like to pull the plug on Hillary Clinton and to deny her the inevitability that she thinks she has and is.
Well, the thing is, either way, they lose and they win, we lose, don't
yeah, exactly,
they?
Exactly.
I mean, because, you know, they've got enough on Hillary and enough skeletons in her closet, and I'm sure Obama as well along the way, although he hasn't had much chance to build a repertoire, but enough that they can just bring those, trot out those skeletons whenever they want to. And that's the case with George Bush. George Bush has enough behind him now and enough involvement, I think, questions about 9/11, that should the Wall Street Journal and the Crystals decide they're going to do something, or the Times or the Post, that the time has come to get rid of George Bush, you can bet your bottom dollar, Mike, that that is exactly what we'll see in the pages of these papers.
I'm going to make a little prediction here without any solid foundation. Let me just make a little prediction. I'll probably be proven absolutely wrong, but I'm going to make the prediction. My prediction is that Hillary and Obama are going to beat the hell out of each other. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a few other candidates who are going to come up, but never
stalking
really...
Stalking horse, huh?
Yeah, never really go anywhere, and the powers that be will ultimately turn to a tried, true, and tested member of the establishment, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson.
I was thinking of him, you
Bill
know.
Richardson, I'm sure, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's been tied into these power networks. He's a tried and true friend of Israel. He's got that Hispanic background that will be very appealing to a lot of voters, legal and illegal, in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And he's someone who can be trusted by the powers that be. And I think that, you know, ultimately that's going to be what happens here. Maybe Obama will be blessed with a vice presidential candidacy, but I think ultimately Hillary will be knocked out of the race.
That's interesting. That is very interesting.
That's just, and I'll make another prediction here, which goes along with one I've been making for a long, long time. I think in the end, you're going to see, one way or the other, Joseph Lieberman end up in the ranks of the Republican Party. You know, Dick Cheney went to the hospital today to get his leg checked out.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Mr. Cheney had to give up the vice presidency for health reasons. And good old George W. Bush will reach across the aisle to play bipartisan, you know, a national unity government, and take that good old independent senator from Connecticut, Joe Lieberman, to be our new vice president. That's another prediction. I'll probably be wrong on it, but I'm making the prediction.
Well, it's within the realm of probability and possibility, and it certainly fits politically. It does. There's no question that it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, they play this idea that the grassroots has a major part in selecting our presidential nominees, and, you know, we would like to think that's true, but, you know, we have too much history behind us that tells us otherwise.
Well, when you look back at history now, and you know how Eisenhower was picked by Roosevelt, Eisenhower was a Democrat, and he was picked to be the Supreme Allied Commander in World War II. And you know, Eisenhower had such a horrible, evil record in World War II that most people never knew about. And yet that record proved him to be the perfect candidate to be the Republican candidate for nominee for the Republican candidacy for the presidency of the United States. He was a tried and true politician, you know, as Robert Welch used to say. But here was an ultimate insider, a liar, a total and complete fraud, Eisenhower was. And you know how General Patton felt about Eisenhower.
Absolutely. That tells you everything you need to know.
What he was planning to do to Eisenhower, and he met with that strange misfortune, that so-called accident. And then you can see how, you know, you had Adlai Stevenson there, and all of a sudden, you know, you had some of the bigwigs, Robert Taft, and who emerged from the Republican convention? Dwight David Eisenhower to be president of the United States.
You know, back in 1952, my late friend Joe Camp, who used to write for the Spotlight, he was writing... They always called him the dean of the American anti-communist writers, going back to the 1920s. Well, Joe Camp, who incidentally is the grand uncle of actress Angelina Jolie, by virtue of being the uncle of her father, John Voight, which might explain why Angelina and her father do somersaults to pay homage to Israel and Zionism, to prove that they're not like their late uncle. But in any case, their late uncle, Joe Camp, had a report he put out. It was kind of a newsletter called Headlines. And it was a whole issue devoted to the treachery and intrigue and corruption of Dwight D. Eisenhower. And, you know, Eisenhower comes across as such a, you know, you look at the pictures of him, he looks like an old grandfatherly type. He was anything but that. And Joe Camp laid it all out in his report on Eisenhower. And if anything, you know, people have forgotten this, but, you know, during the reign of Dwight Eisenhower, you know, the Republicans took over the House and the Senate, I believe, when Eisenhower came in 1952. By 1960, when John F. Kennedy was elected president, the Republican Party had gone down the tubes.
No, he decimated the party.
Yeah, any chance of reforming the the restructuring of the American government that came about during the New Deal, Eisenhower completely put that all to rest in the name of modern republicanism.
Mm-hmm. And it was a British historian here quoted in the Dan Smoot reports that wrote a book on Eisenhower and how he was in direct contact with his Soviet counterparts during World War II before he had even informed Washington as to what he was doing. This man, somebody was watching Eisenhower and somebody protected him all along the way to make him president because he had served in this cause of the New World Order. Right from the beginning, here was a consummate politician, an insider, a globalist, an internationalist, and this man was totally and completely evil as far as I'm concerned. Everything I've read about Eisenhower makes me think that this man was almost the devil incarnate for what he did. And during his presidency, you remember the Hungarian uprising. And you remember how he betrayed them and how he says, we will pray for you. Mimi and I will say prayers for you Hungarians. Why, that dirty, no good SOB, you know, this
was
the man.
You're very gentle, Rick. You're very gentle.
Yeah. I'm being kind because I'm on the air. But anyway, we got off the mark. But, you know, you've written about these characters in the in your latest book. The Judas Goats, and we'll get into that, and we'll invite callers now to join us as well. Mike Piper, my guest. I love it. Rick Adams, stay tuned for more.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
All right. Hey, Mike Piper, the American Free Press. And here we are, Rick Adams. And we're going to take calls starting, I think, in the second hour. We have a line of calls for you and me, Mike. And our number, by the way, is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. But in your book, the last book you wrote, The Judas Goats, you know, you really get into this, you really get into how these Zionists in America were basically playing anti-communist and pro-communist at the same time. And it had to do with Stalin and Stalinist Russia. After Stalin had been protected and rewarded since the 1930s by Roosevelt and Eisenhower and Truman and so forth, this split emerged. This it became like time to dump Stalin. And in 1953, Stalin was gone, wasn't he?
Yeah, essentially, this is something that, you know, I'll tell you, the first person, two people put me onto this track. I wish I could say this was an original thought, but Eustace Mullins, in
right.
some of his writings back in the mid-1980s, had touched upon this.
Yep, yes.
Likewise, did another friend, a mutual friend of Eustace and myself, the late DeWes Tooker.
Mm-hmm.
He, in the early 1980s, started explaining these details to me at the same time Eustace was writing about it, because the two of them went back to the early 50s together, and they latched on to this. They understood this. And obviously, Eustace is a great anti-communist, and so was Wes Tooker.
Mm-hmm.
But they began to realize that the American anti-communist movement,
mm-hmm.
beginning in the early 1950s, was being manipulated by the Zionists. And that stemmed from the fact
Yep.
that Joseph Stalin had split with the Zionists.
Mm-hmm.
And the people we know today in America as the neoconservatives are the political descendants, so to speak, of these Trotskyites. These
mm-hmm.
Essentially, Trotsky was an international Zionist who had been in power in the Soviet Union. Joseph Stalin aced him out. And then,
mm-hmm.
of course, World War II came along, and Stalin got in the cozy position of being the U.S. ally against Hitler. After Hitler was vanquished, however, Stalin was in the driver's seat in the Soviet Union, and he began to purge the Zionists, more so than he had ever done.
Yeah, he really was ruthless, but he was not exactly enamored by the Zionists there.
Right.
He knew they were just a menace, and they would do to him what they had done to Germany.
And at that point,
right.
then, in the United States, you found this sudden switcheroo, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
where these people suddenly emerged as anti-Stalinist, and yet
mm-hmm.
they were still essentially communist.
They were still Marxist communists,
exactly.
Leninists.
Exactly.
Yes,
and
right.
now
mm-hmm.
today they have come full circle,
mm-hmm.
and they are the leaders of the Republican Party.
Yeah, the neo-Cains.
yeah,
I
exactly.
call them the neo-Cains, the sons of Cain, Satan's children.
That's
yes.
a good I like
exactly
that.
Exactly what they are, yes,
yeah,
indeed.
And, I tell you, when you discuss this subject matter, it upsets a lot of people. I just got a letter from somebody the other day who had read my book, and he said, it sounded to me like you were excusing Joseph Stalin of his crimes. And I wrote back, and I said, no, I'm not excusing Joseph Stalin of his crimes, but I'm just taking a look at the facts.
Yeah.
However uncomfortable they may be,
mm-hmm.
these are the facts. And I think that the recent events during the era of George W. Bush do bring it full circle. George Bush is supposed to be the new Ronald Reagan. George Bush is supposed to be this great conservative. George Bush is a Trotskyite.
Yep.
He's a tool. He's a tool of these Trotskyite Zionists who simply put on new. It's like a stage play. Someone goes and changes their costume.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we'll be right back, and this is great. We'll take some calls for you, Mike Piper. And Rick Adams with you tonight, as ever and always, Uncensored Radio Free America. Radio Avenger will be right back with your calls, 1-800-313-9443.